Sagt der Elige Mishnah weiter, Masechtes Ksuvos, Perik Tes, Mishnah Ches. So we learned earlier that there are five cases where the woman would have to swear to collect her ksuba. Now the Mishnah is going to go through all those five cases and tell us exactly what they are. We begin. Sagt der Mishnah, we learned, Hapogemes Ksubasa. One of the cases where she would have to swear to collect her ksuba is if she already used up some of her ksuba. She got some of it. Keitza. How does this work? Mishnah gives us a case. Haisa ksubasa elef zuz. Suppose her ksuba was for 1,000 zuz. When she comes to claim her ksuba after she's divorced, Amala, her husband, says to her, Hiskabalta, you will makabal the whole money. Hiskabalta ksubasa, you will makabal your ksuba. Mihia Mary, she says, wait a second. I got something, not 1,000. Layas Gabalti, I didn't receive from the money of the ksuba that I'm supposed to get, Elamana, only 100 zuz. You owe me another 900. Well, if she's going to get the other 900, says the Mishnah, Loiti Para, she won't get paid the rest, Ela B'Shvur, only if she swears. Vaitra Zakta the Mishnah. Erechad Me'idah Shipurua, that was another one of the cases that she has to swear. Okay, so what's this case? Mishnah again gives us the illustration. Haisa ksubas Ela B'Zuz, ksuba was for 1,000 zuz, vi amala. And her husband says to her, His kabalta ksubasach, you're coming for your ksuba, you got it already. V'hi ameres, and now she says, what? Layis kabalti, I didn't get anything. V'eid echad me'ida, and there is a single eid that testifies on the husband's side against her. Shehi perua, that the ksuba has been paid. It's like the Mishnah, she too likti parela b'shvua, will only get her ksuba if she swears. The next case in the Mishnah was Menachas and Mishabadim. That's when she would have to swear. Ketza. What's the illustration of this case? It's like the Mishnah Machar, the husband sold Nechasav, his property, Leacherim, to others. And there's nothing left to collect from. As long as he still had something, she can't go collect it from the one who bought it, but there's nothing left to collect from. So Vehi Nefras, she wants to come and get paid Menalekuches from the people that bought it. In other words, the husband had no right to sell it. But loiti para ela b'shvua, it's only going to be with a shvua. Next case was minichse yisaimim. So ketza, what's that case? Mesabal, the husband dies. Then yechni leaves over nechasav, his nechasim li yisaimim. In other words, to his yarshim. She wants to come to collect it now from the yarshim. She had not gotten it during her lifetime. V'inefras mena yisaimim. She wants to get paid from the yisaimim. Loiti para ela b'shvua. And the fifth of the five cases was ushaloi b'fanav. Ketza, what's this case? Halachloi, the husband went l'medina sayam, to a faraway place, after he divorced her. Vina Fras, she wants to get paid from the nechasim of the husband, Shaloi Befanov, not in his presence, he's not here. And it's explained there's no way to get the message to the husband and for him to be back within 30 days. Zakta Mishnah, and in a Fras, Ella B'Shvua. She's not going to get paid unless she swears. Now, so really, what's the Chiddush in the Mishnah? Pashtus, the Mishnah is just illustrating the cases, but the Mefarshim explain over here that in the first two cases, where she really took part of the payment, or there's an eid echad that takes the husband's side and says you weren't paid yet. The Mishnah is letting us know that there it has to be where the husband challenges her. In the first case, the husband says, you got everything. She says, only a little. In the second case, the husband also says, you got everything, and he has an eid echad to support him, so she has to swear. In the last three cases, if you look carefully at the words of the Mishnah, it doesn't say omalah that her husband told her. And for good reason. The husband's not here. He can't tell her. And that's the Chiddush, like we explained earlier. Even though no one is outright challenging her, but we're going to take the position of the husband, assuming that if he was here, he may do so. And by the way, that's not just done in regard to a ksuba. There are many cases where Bezdin does this. If we want to take away money from someone who's not here, Bezdin, on his behalf, will ask and demand the same things that we assume that he or she would have asked for had they been here to try to defend themselves. Zakta Helega Mishnah Vaita, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Rabbi Shimon says, Kol Zman Shu Tavas Ksuba, so if she asks for her Ksuba, her Yarshan Mashmianaisa, the Yarshan can make her swear. But Vimena Tavas Ksuba, so if she doesn't ask for her Ksuba, Ein HaYarshan Mashmianaisa, the Yarshan cannot make her swear. What's Rabbi Shimon saying? What is he referring to? And who is he arguing with? So first of all, Rav Shimon disagrees with what we learned earlier in Mishnah He, that the husband has this koyach to pater her from any shvur that can come out through him, including his yarshim. According to Reb Shimon, the yarshim could be mashbia her, even if her husband told her beferish, I will never make you swear, and my yarshim will not make you swear. In other words, the father may have said this, but he never had any koyach. The husband never had the koyach to be moichel the shvur on part of his yarshim. But this is only if she demands for ksuba. So here, Reb Shimon is arguing on something else. We learned earlier in Mishnah Dalet that if the husband did not pater the wife from his shvur, and she's like a business manager, an apitropis, she's managing the estates, he can make her swear whenever he wants, even if she's not asking for a ksuba. Now, it's not just she's asking for a ksuba, so I'm going to say, okay, let's see if you owe me money. Swear you didn't take anything. No, whenever he wants, he can be mashbiyah her, according to the first shita. And the same is true for the yarshim. They can just make her swear, even if she didn't ask for anything. They can make her swear, okay, what happened when you managed your husband's estate? Here, Reb Shimon says, no. If she's not asking for a ksuba, you, the yarshim, cannot force her to swear. And the truth is, same is true for the husband himself. If she's managing the husband's estates and she's not asking for her ksuba, the husband cannot, according to Reb Shimon, force her to swear. Yeah, if he divorces her and she asks her ksuba, then he can say, oh, you want me to pay you? First you swear that you didn't take anything from me. But stamaza, he can't just make her swear, even if she's managing his estate. So is Reb Shimon being machmir or mekel? And the answer is both. Depends where. On the one hand, he's being machmir on the lady. He's saying that the yarshim could make her swear if she asks for her ksuba, even if her husband said, neither me or my yarshim will make you swear. On the other hand, he's being very lenient on her. But if she's an apitropis, as long as she does not ask for her ksuba, they cannot ask her to swear that she didn't take anything.